How am I opening this shit? What's my motivation?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
I don't know. I'm really cute.
Okay, that's our opening right there, everybody. This is another show bonus for What It's Worth. And as you have just heard, we are talking now with someone who is apparently self-styled as cute.
Hey, y'all. My name is Buck.
Good job. Introduce yourself. So we're doing this early on a Friday, and I haven't even had coffee yet. That's how amazing this is going to be.
Oh, boy.
I know. So Buck, you do the music for Bedfellows, which is the main episode topic, which you were supposed to be at. So first of all, explain to us why you weren't there.
I was at work.
No, you're supposed to say you were adulting.
Oh, well, I was adulting, actually. At work.
At work. And we missed you. We had a good time. It was a good conversation. But we would be remiss if we didn't have you on. So kind of explain to everybody your role with the series. And it's not the comic series, just to be clear. It's the animated series.
Correct. I actually do all the music for the animated series. And I also do all the music for the new video game, Frenzy, which just came out.
And how did you get involved with this?
Well, way back when we first started doing, but before he even did the first video online on YouTube, Sheen put up a journal. Was like, I'm looking for musicians to do this thing. And my husband found it and said, you really need to go do this. Just, you know, audition. So I sent him my stuff and I told him I'm cheaper than anyone you will ever find. And he said, you're hired.
Was it a good idea though to say that you were cheaper than anybody? I mean, that doesn't.
Well, no, I didn't literally say that. I just gave him my prices.
You're like, I am affordable.
I'm affordable.
I'm affordable.
It's true. I got really low rates, and you know, over time, we were able to, you know, as it got more successful, you know, I got better benefits from it and stuff. So.
So how long have you been doing this now? Since the inception, right? Were you on episode?
Yeah, one? I was a pilot episode. I did the music.
Was there music in the first episode?
There was. It was waiting music. It was waiting to donate sperm music.
Oh, pilot. I'm thinking episode one.
Oh, the episode one, there was music. It was very different from the pilot episode. It was just, when we first started doing like episode one, we were trying to do, like, you know, figure out what we could do for background music for all of the episodes. And then over time, it was like, let's just use music cues as we need them.
Right. So is most of the music you write long form, or is it just like short little, like 3 or 4 second, I guess, cues is what you'd call them?
Actually, most of it is about, you know, 30 seconds long, a lot of the stuff, you know, for the show anyway. It's usually about 30 seconds.
Right. And then how long is a piece for the video game?
2 minutes, usually.
2 minutes. So... Mm. What's the difference, really? I mean, first of all, before we get to the difference, maybe I should ask you this instead. So what's it like? Because most people I know, and I only know one other musician that can just sit down and make music come out. Like most of us, like most people interaction with the music is like cinema, right? Like soundtracks and John Williams and, you know, names like that. So what's it like when you sit down and you have this blank piece of mental sheet music or physical? I don't know if you ever use sheet music, but you get what I'm saying.
I don't. Yeah.
And you have to produce music. What's that process?
It's different depending on what I'm doing. With the Bedfellows, Sheen usually is like, this is kind of what I'm looking for. But don't be too similar. We don't want anyone to know that this is what we were looking for.
Okay.
So he'll send me references and I'll listen to them and I'm like, okay. Oh, hello. Okay.
Yeah.
I just heard myself all of a sudden.
Oh, what's
that? I always compose on guitar. So I just start with my guitar and, you know, try to bang out some chords, kind of think about how it's going to progress and also how all of the other instruments are going to fit into it. Then I record the guitar. I record the bass instruments, you know, like bass, drums, stuff like that, and then work around that.
Do you just have like this swirly mist of music in your head, like just melodies that are just sitting there waiting to be pulled out of the ether? Or do you have to like, or do you sit there and like think about every note? Are you like Beethoven?
I have to, I really kind of have to think about the melody a lot. A lot of the times, at least with the video game, the melody was the last thing I did.
Okay.
Oh, go
no,
ahead.
No. With the video game then is I okay, so here's the secret. Like I can't make it past level 3. one player, two player, it doesn't really matter. I still can't make it past level 3. And there's other really high profile games that have come out today. So mm-hmm. that I need to pay proper attention to. So I won't get back to level 4, or trying for level 4 for a while, but is there a theme that's consistent then between all the different pieces? Did you pull a Mario World?
What do you mean by pulling a Mario World?
Well, so Mario World has that one theme that everyone knows, and it's switched and put in different keys and at different paces and stuff.
Actually, no. For this game, for the most part, no. None of the melodies are repeated. There is a general common theme, and the general common theme is chiptunes and metal put together. Mm-hmm. But we kind of stray from that in different places. There's one part where there's like an electro swing piece that's just completely different. There is, you know, inspiration from things like bands like Incubus, like earlier Incubus stuff, Rage Against the Machine, Run-DMC. But generally speaking, it's metal and chiptune. That's kind of the overriding theme.
Do you like to write in chiptune? Do you have a favorite genre?
I like writing rock, and I think chiptune is a lot of fun to play with. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm, you know, an expert at it, as it were, because I know that some people actually do this sort of thing. Like, this is what I do, is chiptune. It was a lot of fun to play with. And it's a lot of fun to mess with those sounds. And I always, you know, I enjoy the aesthetic a lot.
So are there a lot of furry musicians out there? Like, that actually will create music from scratch?
Oh, there's tons. There's tons of furry musicians of various calibers.
Like, I only know two. That's not true, because we have, Fox and Moore, but he's like a vocalist rather than just like a soundtrack. I see you, in my head,
Like, I would say the Fox and Moore is the opposite of that. Really? Fox and Moore is more soundtrack, and he only does vocals as like a backup. He usually does backup vocals if he's playing live.
Really? So are there a lot then? There are?
Oh, yeah. You know, we have a whole furry musicians group, so if you're a furry musician, you should totally join it on Telegram. But, you know, there's Pepper Coyote, Rhubarb the Bear, Cosmic. Those are three offhand. Who else? Oh, Skuro does, like, comedic stuff. There's a lot of furry musicians in the background. Like, Stitch will play guitar live for a lot of, for the Banthro stuff that they do. There's drummers. Who's that? Dolphin Boy is a drummer. There's a drummer named Teddy. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of furry musicians, and you know, there's a, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, actually, find out. And if I'm not, then just cut it. there's a band called Run Definitely Run. And I know at least one of them is a furry.
I think you'll probably be okay, because they probably don't listen. If you listen, that's cool, but I don't think they listen, you know? Let's say it's the truth, right? So do you guys what's it like? Do you guys get together at a con and like jam with each other?
Sometimes. I know that right now what our end goal is to have like a con set, like a concert block of 2 hours at a con, kind of like a music fest where like everyone kind of plays for like, you know, 15 to 20 minutes. And so that you have like all the musicians featured for one thing. So here's what happens a lot at cons is like you have, let's say you have like three musicians. You've got Fox and Pepper, you've got Matthew Abel, and you got me. And so you have three concert blocks of just those people, and the fans of those people are going to go to those, period. They're not going to go see the other people. So the idea is to have a concert block where everyone is featured and performs, so that, you know, the fans of Fox and Moore will come see, you know, Pepper Coyote or Matthew Abel or Husky in Denial, which I'm Husky in Denial, by the way. Or, you know, and then some of the people who are just trying to up and coming or trying to get their name out there who have a live performance can share the stage with those bigger names and kind of get some.
Jealous of you and your involvement in Bedfellows?
Who?
Any one of them. Anyone in your... I'm going to call you like the...
No one knows that I do the Bedfellows. Are you kidding?
What? Your name's in the credits.
Yeah, no one knows it anyway.
So how does that make you feel? Is that disappointing?
It's kind of strange because, like, I did a show at MFF and I was like, hey, by the way, here's these songs that I'm doing for the Bedfellows video game. And I performed the songs. And then afterwards, someone came up and was like, wait, you do the music for the Bedfellows? I was like, come on, man. Come on. You were here at the show. I know you were here. Come on.
Did you slap him?
Not literally. Like, come on, dude. So you were here. I said it out loud.
So you're bummed because you want to be recognized. So is that a thing? Like, is it hard as a musician to find the recognition that you deserve?
You know, I don't want to suggest that I deserve any recognition because that's kind of pompous.
I'll suggest,
but I would like people to know what I've done. If they know the work, I want them to know that I did it.
So what you're saying is, okay, so here's what we should do. I mean, we're not, but I wish we could, is I'll play the Bedfellows video game, but I'll hack it so the game music goes away, or I guess I could just turn the music all the way down and play it, and then play it with, and it makes so much difference. So how can people not stop to appreciate the music?
No, I think people love the music. Like, I've heard nothing but good reviews about the music that we made for the video game.
But isn't the next logical step to go, well, who made this?
I think, let's think about the Bedfellows show. I think people don't realize that there's a team of people that make things. If that makes any sense.
Yeah,
because
it's just
for music, it could just be stock music for the show, for all I know.
Let me tell you what I know about stock music. A lot. Well, no, the truth of it is like, I'm not going to go to a musician and be like, please give me free music, because that's their skill. You pay for people's trade skills, right? And
right. So
I have to rely on open source, or not open source, but public domain and music like that, because mm-hmm. I simply can't afford to drop $100 every time I want six notes in a specific order. I just can't. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like, everyone knows, what's his face? Even we use his music. The guy who does Incompetech, what's his name?
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name right now.
I know, I'm going there right now. And, of course, his name is not on the copyright. Good job.
No, it's like McLeod.
Fox McLeod does the music.
Yes. Kevin McLeod.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we used a lot of his music. I mean, I have reached out and gotten permission for some pieces, or we own the copyright for our, what am I trying to say? Opening
theme
music.
Song.
Theme song. Thank you. See, this is the pre-coffee. This is why it's a show bonus. It's way looser. but like, yeah, like, that's.
And you reached out to me because I'm really cheap.
Well, we've got this live show we announced during the main episode that I have to hit you up about, speaking of.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah, yeah, which is, we don't need to talk about it. Hey, listeners, you don't need to hear how much music costs. Go away. No. So, because I remember, going back to the Bedfellows thing, because I remember when you introduced yourself, you're like, I do the music for the Bedfellows, and I was like, you don't get that?
People are like, oh, that's you? Oh, I like that song, Keys, Keys, Keys. That's what I usually get. Oh, that was you?
Did you write Keys? I figured that was a collaborative piece.
It's collaborative. I did the music for it, and I also produced it, and I helped make Sheen sound like he could rap.
Did you auto-tune? Do you have auto-tune?
Oh, no, not Sheen. I meant specifically the vocal, the guy who does the voice for Sheen.
Yeah.
He hates the rap episodes.
Why?
Because he can't keep rhythm.
It's so funny. But no, do you have auto-tune? Do you have like a local like install of auto-tune that you pipe things through?
Well, there's no reason to auto-tune him for a rap song.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in general.
Generally speaking, I try to use very little.
But do you have it? That's what I want to. Is it like a dirty thing to say you have auto-tune?
I have Reason, which has this thing called. There are like different tiers of auto-tune. So this is kind of like a low tier, like pitch correction, really? Sort of thing they have.
And there's
and
like
then you have things
tier?
Like Melodyne, because Melodyne is like the god of changing pitches, which is actually like I played with it before for this actually for this video game. I had trouble with the electro swing one because all of the songs were like in different you know, they didn't tune to like a concert pitch, that all of the different songs tuned to like whatever all the instruments were. Mm-hmm. So they're in tune with each other, but they weren't at a concert pitch. And so I used Melodyne to like move them into a concert pitch. And that shit is incredible. That thing is like, you can like go in and like change the pitch of different individual instruments. It's ridiculous. But I don't usually have access to stuff like that.
Auto-tune, 3 easy payments with no interest. Let's see. Oh, wait, that's an ad. Well, okay, so what did Cher use? I have to ask, because that's when everyone learned about auto-tune, when she was sounding like a robot, right?
It's a good question. I don't exactly know what Cher used, but whatever she used was designed. She basically turned the pitch correction all the way up so that it sounded distorted and robot-y.
All right, so let's see, Auto-Tune EFX 3. Wow, seriously, there's like a million different versions. Why?
Because they probably all specialize in different things, and also that Auto-Tune now is a very popular tool. I'm sure when it began, there were like one or two. But really, the top of the line, as far as I know, is Melodyne. And having played with it for something that was completely unrelated to fixing vocals, it's pretty incredible.
Let's see how much $99. That's not bad. I thought this was going to be like $1,000. This is everyone is ruining music.
Okay, so it's going to be there are different tiers. If you explore it more, there's like the $99 version. Then there's like the $300 version.
$849.
Hmm.
I see. $849. Oh. Okay. $5,000. Okay.
If you want to be able to do everything ever to anything.
Wow. Okay, so yeah. So this is interesting. I've always wanted to ask a musician, like, what do you think of auto-tune? Like
I think that it can be okay. I think that it is overused. Okay. It's not always necessary, and sometimes they use it anyway. It makes, you know, if you're using it, I have time for 2 takes. I can do 2 vocal takes. You know, it's kind of useful because if you don't have time to do something. I think it has its place, but I think that it certainly doesn't have to be used all the time, and that we should strive not to use it all the time if we don't need to.
So it's kind of like a condom. I'd be completely silly.
It's kind of like.
Now I'm going to make you answer. There's just no way around it.
It's kind of like hot sauce. Like you want to use a little bit of hot sauce when it's necessary. Some people like to just dump hot sauce on everything.
Yeah, like
but you don't then you don't get any flavor. It's just hot sauce. So maybe you should just use it when you need it and some kind of sparingly, so you can taste the hot sauce but you can get a little bit of everything else as well.
I gotcha. So is your interaction with clients, shall we say, is it a lot like, are you as organized as like a lot of the voiceover artists are out there, or is it still a little bit more freelancy, if that makes sense?
Definitely more freelancy. I have a process. I don't have like a union or anything like that. I guess technically I was BMI, which is a union. But, I don't do a lot of what you would call professional work. And I certainly don't charge professional rates because, you know, first of all, the people that I appeal to probably wouldn't be able to afford professional rates. And second of all, I don't know that I am, top shelf enough to charge professional rates.
So
because I do everything all by myself and I have like a home studio with a jerry-rigged system,
sounds like our studio.
Probably like your studio, except I don't have like any monitors. I just have like really nice headphones and then really crappy. I have like a whole bunch of different types of headphones.
Okay. See, so now you open up the can of worms. This is why I like things being really loose. We can just do whatever. But, are you like one of those people who like you go to Best Buy and you look at the different headphones, right? And of course there's like Beats and Bose or whatever. And then you get to like some of that, like at the Magnolia section, they have like maybe a little Audio Technica or some Sennheisers. All right, which
I
probably,
have Sennheisers.
Yeah, which a lot of people are probably like, what the hell is he talking about? But like, do you look at those even in the Magnolia section and go like, nah, I'm going to have to specialty order my super expensive, super nice headphones. And do they really make that much of a difference?
Well, you know, I don't have my headphones cost $100, which for me sounds like really nice, really expensive headphones, to be honest. I was looking for a flat response. I was looking for something that would last. And I've had these headphones since 2010. So it's, you know, 6-7 years, you know. Mm-hmm. They still work. They're still incredible. They've been through a lot of hell, and they're still pumping it out. They only cost me $100. I don't know. For mixing, you don't want to... Okay, so when you're mixing something, you want to have a nice flat response for your things, but you also don't want it to be too like you don't want your headphones to like make it sound the best all the time. And the reason is because most people aren't listening in that environment. So you definitely want to have like some nice mixing headphones that have a flat response, but you also want to have like the shittiest headphones you can ever find. You also want to have, you know, somewhere in the middle. You want to listen on a car radio when you're mixing stuff and mastering them, because most people are listening with their, you know, whatever, maybe $20 headphones.
Well, that makes me feel like a colossal ass.
What do you have?
My go-to headphones, not so I don't master the show with these. But my go-to, just if I want to listen to music, whatever, are Bose QC35s.
That sounds really nice. It sounds like expensive headphones.
They're like $350.
Man, I wish I could afford $350 headphones, man.
Wow. See, I love this. So, do you hate Bose? That's the question. So, I
reckon... Oh, No, I don't Bose hate anyone great. Who offers really nice headphones for a really expensive price. I'm so down with that. If you've got a really nice sound, you know, and you want to sell it, that's great. I will say I don't really like Beats because they're so bass heavy.
Yes. They really are.
I don't like it when headphones are just like, now with more bass.
Extra bass.
Because, you know, what's interesting is like the music that Beats would advertise itself for, like hip hop and R&B and stuff, already are mixed with so much bass.
Right. So you're basically just going to vibrate your brain and give yourself a concussion.
Well, basically, yeah.
Oh, my God. Imagine, oh, I have a concussion. Why? I listen with my Beats.
I listen to music with my Beats and gave myself a concussion.
Yeah, it's really weird that people, like, they hate on Bose. And it's not like, I don't go out there going, Bose is the best. I go, Bose sounds the best for what I want to hear, right? Mm-hmm. I want to hear a very natural sounding stage. I don't want it to be super bassy. I don't want the highs to be like, hello, we're going to shatter your eardrums. You know, I feel like it's a fairly well-balanced sound. It's a very specific sound that they strive for. But I will also say there are certain Bose products out there that suck. Like the QC25s are shit. I went from 15s to 35s because the 25s were awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just... It's interesting that people dig on them, but I also have like a little portable Bose speaker that I play music on. They're
nice,
right? And Bluetooth has gotten good.
Yeah, I have a jam party, which I use at like conventions when I've got like a setup, like a dealer's table setup. Actually, it's usually an artist alley table because I can't afford to be a dealer, but like a artist alley table, I'll prop up my little jam party and play some of my music on it.
Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. So,
sounds great.
I know. So are we going to be pimping you at BLFC? Is that the deal?
You should totally pimp me at BLFC.
Are you going to BLFC for once?
No, I can't go to anything until I get new off days. I was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, used up all of my off days. So,
but it's in June. You got time. Build it up like a good... Like, you know, like when you got to pay the bills after a while. It's been a while. You haven't been able to pay the bills. And
I actually don't get any more off days until August.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very nice.
Yeah, it sucks.
You should write. Do you have a sad violin piece that you ever pull out? You're like, oh, I feel so bad for you.
No, I don't do that.
Why not?
It's kind of douchey. Okay. It's funny. It's kind of douchey.
Okay, well, what about the First World Problems theme?
Oh, the only thing I can think about First World Problems is that Pixie song that Weird Al Yankovic
no,
did.
No, 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 no. Okay, I got to ask you, musician. So this is the theme for First World Problems. I'm sorry if I blew your ear out.
That's fine.
Oh, wait. It would help if YouTube wasn't muted. Unmute? Okay, here we go, here we go. Let's try this again. Or not play. I mean, that's fine, too. What the hell? Can you even hear it?
No.
Well, it's Kenny G. It's Songbird.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's funny. and you go, oh, my diamond shoes are broken. And people, like, will lose their shit. As a musician, how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about Kenny G?
Being First World Problems. The theme.
Oh, I love it. I think it's great.
I'm really annoyed that, like, that didn't play. I'm very sad about that because it would have been, we could have had another 5 minutes of joy. All right. So what's the worst part of working on Bedfellows?
let me think for this for a second. I really like working with Chris because he generally knows what he wants, and he'll also push me to do things, you know, to perfection. He's like, this doesn't sound good. Do it differently.
Do it better.
But he also doesn't know how to articulate what he wants very well. Because he doesn't have, like, music speak, if you know what I mean. So sometimes we get lost in translation, but usually we can figure it out. But that's probably the hardest part, is trying to parse out what he wants sometimes.
What's the best part?
The best part is that, Sheen is really cool. Chris is really cool to work with. Everyone there is really cool to work with. They're a lot of fun. They're very funny. And I get paid to do music, and I get to do a bunch of different stuff that I wouldn't normally do. So it's mostly just a generally positive experience. I enjoy, like, doing the entire soundtrack was a huge opportunity for me, first of all. I got paid to do the soundtrack, and now I get to, like, have this whole thing on my repertoire where I did this whole giant project, and it was music that I enjoyed doing. Sometimes it was hard just to figure out how to make, like, how to blend Zydeco and metal. That was a little bit difficult, but we did it. Kind of.
What's Zydeco?
Is that like a medicine? Zydeco is like a type of Louisiana jazz.
Oh, okay.
It's heavy with accordions and violins and stuff. So chip tune, Zydeco, metal. It was a little hard. I think we pulled it off.
Sorry. Anyway, you were saying.
But I get to do things that are, it was a lot of fun to do. I wouldn't have done it on my own. And I got paid to do it. So that's all really great.
I don't know what to say after that. It's just, this coffee is not kicked in, man.
That's okay.
I know. Like, normally I have something really profound, or Rue will say something, but because Rue's at work and it's early, I'm just like, I'm nodding. Everyone can hear me nodding right now. that's my crappy follow-up. Okay. Anything else you want to plug while we're recording? You've got 40 seconds.
Okay. Well, this is the year of the Husky, so I'm trying to, get some stuff out. I got out that first album. There's a single coming out soon called Spare Hearts. I'm getting started on that. The website will be up here in the next about half a month, a new website for Husky in Denial. And then towards the end of the year, I will have a new album for you to have, and it will be called Fanatic Kingdom, or just Fanatic. I'm kind of debating. So I've got a lot of cool stuff coming your way soon, and if you want to help me get it done and get out a quality product, you can go to GoFundMe.com/YearOfTheHusky, and I would be eternally grateful for your help.
Isn't it a forward slash?
Forward slash, whatever the slash is.
I'm giving you a hard time. Oh, okay. I was like, I thought this was Year of the Cock.
No. Fuck okay. Cock. It's Huskies.
Okay. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this, for what it's worth, show bonus. If you want another one, let us know. And as always, if you like the show and you for some reason feel crazy enough and would like to support it, patreon.com/FWIW. I can't believe we got that. and we will take your money happily and then act really ashamed of it. Bye.